and particularly to pray and to praise together. Dear friends, let us open this morning session with 274, Sweet Hour of Prayer, which is very fitting for our theme lesson. 274. Asked Brother Ryan to open this session with a word of prayer. Brother Ryan, please.
Our most kind, gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and precious name. Dear Lord, at this time we're so thankful. Come to thee with thankful hearts, humble adoration for your plans and purposes for not only us but all mankind in due time. We're so thankful and all that we're one day closer to when gladness will come to stay, when all mankind will come to a true appreciation of thy character, your wisdom, your power, and your justice, but especially your love for each and every person who's ever lived. We're so thankful for that hope that we have. At this time, we ask a special blessing upon Brother Freeman as he ministers unto us, that we can inculcate and integrate these lessons into our lives and our daily walk, especially those opportunities, albeit few, whenever we can witness that glad tiding to anyone who will listen. We're so mindful of those who would love to have been here today but could not. We're also mindful of all thy children the world over, and we know that you'll continue to provide that grace sufficient for their needs. Despite our best attempts, we often come short in thought, word, and deed. Please continue to forgive our many sins. Truly, dear Lord, what a pleasure it is to have that privilege to come to thy heavenly throne of grace in any time of need, especially this time, to give thanks. In Jesus' name, we're mindful and thankful of it all. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ryan, for those precious words before the throne of grace, which we share together. Dear brethren, it's a blessing to continue our fellowship on spiritual things, on the Holy Word, and to consider with Brother Freeman his lesson today, which is titled, The Importance of Prayer. The Importance of Prayer. Brother Freeman, may the Lord bless you this hour as you serve us and bless us also.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Again, this is morning. Yes, I'm looking at the time, what time it is. But anyway, we're very thankful again, brethren. And it's been a real blessing to be here with those of like precious faith. I was talking to a couple, three brethren last evening. I came back in, everyone had filed out, and I was just telling them it's such a blessing to be around those who speak the same language. No babbling here, brethren. But it's such a wonderful blessing. I was just thinking as we sang that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And we, you and I, have been blessed to have access to the throne of grace. And how often can we come? And every time. I was looking at that verse, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. And here again, in the words of that hymn, we can cast upon Him our every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. Isn't that a wonderful? You and I have access to the Creator of the universe. What a blessing, brother. What a blessing. Your theme hymn, as we see on the back here, that the class here in Yorkton selected, prayer. And I was asking Brother George, I thought he and I were together in Houston in June, or in San Antonio last week, and I was asking him, did I do prayer down in Houston? I don't recall. I'm getting a little short on my remembrance here. But anyway, for a few minutes, we're going to discuss, that is, not in this order, but the exclusiveness of prayer. We know that the Gentiles did not have access until AD 36. We have all of this. We know what time it is. It's on the chart up here. What is prayer? What prayer is? And I enjoyed that Faith Foundation, the articles there on prayer. Very beautiful, if you'd like to look at that. Here again, one of the headings here is, salvation is impossible without prayer. Why is prayer necessary? We're going to touch on these. I know we don't have time to go into all of it, but there are hindrances also, dear brethren, to prayer. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, the brethren, our dear brother on the back there yesterday evening, we have to keep this, keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Our hearts will determine our part in this first resurrection. We know, but Brother Wilmot emphasized, there are two classes. In fact, there are more than two classes in this that go in here that have access. There are some who go in second death, but I'm not referring to those. But the great company and the top of that pyramid here behind me. And our dear brother spoke of 14:1, the top of the pyramid here. And how many were there with him? The Lamb, and with him how many? 144,000, no more, no less. Brethren, we have been called to reign with Christ. So keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are a number of senses in the Faith Foundations. I was reading out of that, in, page 152. There are a number of senses in which the word prayer is used. We have 10 of them. One, petition. Two, intercession. Three, entreaty. Four, supplication. Five, confession. Six, invocation. Seven, blessing. Eight, praise. Nine, thanksgiving. 10, adoration. It's 11, and devotion. These all imply communion with God as the center of power and the giver of every perfect gift. While the subject of prayer is wide and its phases many and impossible to comprehend in a sentence, one thing in particular is specially prominent, namely, that the only prayers that are heard and answered by the Almighty God Jehovah are those that are uttered according to His will. Let's look at 1 John 5:14 and 15. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And verse 15, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So here again, if our prayers are according to the Lord, to the Lord's will. Let's look at Psalms 34:15. Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Uttered according, when we ask, it has to be uttered according to God's will. Again, in John 9:31, we know, according to the writer here, that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears it. So again, brethren, the Almighty God Jehovah, He only answers those that are uttered according to His will. We have other scriptures we won't go into. And the object of prayer, dear brethren, the object of prayer is to bring, I know I did this yesterday and I didn't learn, I kept my notes clipped. The object of prayer is to bring the heart and the mind of the child of God into contact with the heart of the Almighty God, Jehovah. And here again, in Hebrews 2, we know that we have access to the throne of grace. And we know that we have to keep those robes clean. We have the best tailor there is. There are none like him. And all we have to do is to keep those spots and go to the throne daily and ask for mercy, for grace to help in every time of need. That has been given to those who are walking in the narrow way, dear brethren, we know that. And all we have to do, otherwise he would never have accepted that consecration. If we didn't have the right heart condition. But he knows that we have that which is necessary to make our calling and election sure. The robe of righteousness that has been provided and the throne of grace. And this enables us most fully to realize the fatherhood of God, his love, and his deep interest in every item of our welfare. He's never too busy. That in deep affliction we may unburden our hearts to God and thus have forcefully brought to our attention his love and care and wisdom. And that is for our encouragement and not his. For our strengthening, not his, and for our joy. Again, brethren, this opportunity is not for us to instruct the Almighty God, Jehovah, how to arrange the matters for the best, but to bring our hearts to realize him as the center of wisdom and power. That having unburdened our hearts, we may be prepared to listen for his answer and advice through his word. In reprint 5378, who may pray and for what? And as we stated, as we opened up, and we gave you some scriptures there already, there's a difference between worship, adoration, homage, and prayer. Anyone may offer homage to the Lord, bow the knee, or express thanks and appreciation. But as for making request of God, prayers, this privilege is distinctly limited. As we know, during the law dispensation, the Jews, were they not privileged to offer prayer? Because they, as a nation, were in typical relationship with God under the law covenant as a house of servants. But the Gentiles had no privilege of approaching God in prayer until after the Jewish favor had ended. And that, as has been pointed out already, it's on this chart, A.D. 36. And we know that last week of that 70 weeks, that last week, from A.D. 29 to A.D. 36. And Daniel's, we can go to Daniel's 9, but we won't go into that. You can read it. But we know that our Lord was to be cut off in the middle of the week, which he was. We've seen that already. And they still, the Jews, as a nation, their house was left unto them desolate, but not as individual until A.D. 36, because they had the exclusive rights that were theirs. But in A.D. 36, we know that the first Gentile convert that we find is Cornelius. So here again, 3.5 years after our Lord's crucifixion, the first Gentile prayers were received according to the Bible was Cornelius. And even his prayers were not acceptable until he had been instructed respecting Christ and his redemption work and had become a follower of Jesus. And we know the story in Acts 10. He had to send for Peter. And Peter instructed him in what was actually required to follow our Lord. And we know he had, evidently at that particular point in time, in Acts 14:6, we know that who is our Lord himself stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here again in Acts 4:12, we know there's salvation in no one else. And as we stated earlier, then his prayers and his consecration were acceptable to the Father. He was received into the family of God as a son. Then, as a son, he had the right or privilege of prayer. Again, in Acts 10, verses 25 through 48. Acts chapter 10, verses 25 through 48. So today, while anyone may offer worship and reverence to God, none are privileged unless he has become a consecrated disciple of Jesus, except it to be the immature children of such consecrated persons. The children of the consecrated. Why is prayer necessary, dear brethren? Why is prayer necessary? Well, in Romans 10 and 23, Romans 3, chapter 10, verses 10 and 23, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. For all, in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You may want to look at Psalm 14, chapter 1, verse 3. We won't read that, but I'll leave that for you. And also Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. When Adam was created, he was perfect mentally, morally, and physically. Brother George brought that, a little bit of that out this morning. He had perfect communion with his Maker. However, when Adam willfully disobeyed his Creator, that sweet communion was broken. You might want to look at Romans 5:12. Because of one man, sin entered into the world. And as a result of sin, death. And we know the wages of sin is death. But there's a gift. We haven't seen that as far as mankind is. The gift of God is going to be what? Eternal life. He lost that perfect communion with his Creator, whom he loved naturally, as the divine law, the sum of which is love for God and neighbor, which was written in Adam's heart. There was no need for the great Jehovah to say to Adam, my son, give me thine heart. That wasn't necessary. It was already given to him. For he had already all the love and devotion of Adam's heart. But when the tempter succeeded in his endeavor to deceive Eve, and through this means caused Adam to willfully take away his heart's loyalty to his heavenly Creator, everything was changed. And that sweet communion again was broken. So this is why prayer, dear brethren, is necessary. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, that heart will be the final determining factor where we end. A top or the next one, which is the great comfort. Prayer is an opportunity, again, and a necessity. While it's a privilege, while prayer is a privilege, it is not a command. Yet, our condition makes it a necessity. And the reason, again, is because of the fall of man from his original perfection. In our flesh, dear brethren, we know. I know I fall far short. And it's a constant striving each day for me. The old adversary is very active. I call to mind from the experience that we had coming up before we got here, as on our journey here. Before we started, I was thinking, and it was came to my mind, I will never murmur nor repine, but here I am thinking in all of these thoughts and murmuring and repining. The first thing comes to my mind, as you stated, brother, that dog started barking. And that came to my mind that I will never do this, murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. So, like I said, he's always busy. What's some of the exclusiveness of prayer? We read a moment ago in John 9:31, that God does not hear sinners. We know in that tabernacle picture here, we had a very beautiful lesson last week on the reconciliation, last Saturday, on reconciliation by Brother Wes Kramer. But here again, well, we had the Levites here, and here again, those who have consecrated, they've washed up, tied themselves up here to that first veil. They have access to all of this. That way, we know that we have access to the throne of grace. Sure, the household of faith, but the part is that these have made a full consecration that are in here. And as Brother stated a little bit earlier, that last Sunday, it was unexpected on our part, but as a result of the programs, the divine plan, we had two immersions which we had no idea that was going to occur. Actually, I had a young sister to call me about less than a week and said I would like to be immersed. And she had been on the internet on the program that I believe it's on Wednesday night, is it? Wednesday morning. And, okay, that was one. But then after our meeting started on Saturday, here's someone from the Houston area that had been on the Divine Plan program asked to be immersed. He had been on the program with Brother Wilmore. So here again, and I didn't mean to offend, but if those two consecrations were accepted, if they were accepted, please hear what I said. I think I offended someone last week. But I meant it in this, not in that order, but if it was accepted, what did that mean? There were two that lost their crown. And Revelation, what is it, chapter 2? Take heed that no man take thy crown. But here again, brethren, We have been blessed with the eye to see and the ear to hear. The God of the universe, out of all the billions, and I'm looking at those in front of me here, you have been blessed. But by the same token, you have more responsibility. To the world of mankind, it has not been given. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The Gentiles, as we stated earlier, had no privilege prior to AD 36. They had no privilege. So how could it calls to mind here, it dawned on me, well, you didn't even have access. How could they be condemned in what is taught in your religious systems outside? Condemned to death, yet they had no access to God. But here again, we're thankful that in AD 36, we're Gentile. We have this privilege. And Brother Wilmot brought up something this morning. My mind ran back to Acts 15. And there's a sequence. There's a sequence. We look at this pyramid here. There is a sequence here. He went to his own in John. I don't know the scripture offhand, but he went to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, he gave them the opportunity to become sons of God. Did he not? But after AD 33, Israel as a nation lost their polity. Not as individuals, because they still had the end of that 70 weeks. They had three and a half years more to go. But then, in Acts 15:14, he went out to the Gentiles to do what? And we can be thankful, brethren, that we have been offered this, extended this invitation. He went out to the Gentiles to do what? To take out a people for his name from the Gentiles. That began in AD 36. Cornelius being the first Gentile convert. And we can be thankful, brother, that we've been blessed to have this invitation. But then if you look in verse 15, I believe, 15:15, and to this all of the prophets agree. Let's read that. Let's look at Acts 15 for a moment. Again, I spoke of on 15:14 a moment ago. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And in verse 15, and with these words of the prophets agreed, just as it is written, that pebble from the brook, brethren, it is written. Now, notice the very first word there in verse 16. After these things, well, here again, that little flock had, there's some feet members on this side still. After this, after taking out from the Gentile that we have completed here, some feet members on the feet members on this side of the veil, there are still some in the quarry, still being chiseled and shaped. But after these things, I will return and I will do what? Rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And we know in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verse 38, because of what occurred in AD 33, their house was what, Brother David? Left unto them desolate. So here we've got a rebuilding. The nation of Israel, that is. They are the first. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it. That is a promise, dear brethren. Remember we spoke last evening It is impossible for God to lie. Not one word, Isaiah 55:11. Not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. Now notice the sequence here. We've gone. I longed this out, my dear brother, this morning. I longed it to Brother Jerry yesterday. Yet I don't even know how to work it. But we've gone from the 14:1, Revelations. The Lamb, and with him how many? 144,000. And then if we go to Revelation 7, we find, I don't know the exact verse, but there's a great crowd, I mean a company here that they come out through the Great Tribulation. And there they are. And Z here, we've just read it in verse 16, the nation of Israel. And then that 17th verse, all of mankind. All of mankind. In order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. What a wonderful picture, brethren. They're waiting on the consecrated to finish their course in the narrow way, to bless all of their fellow man. And we know Israel will be the first of the earthly phase of the kingdom. That's Israel. And then the rest of mankind. But that is a beautiful sequence. The little flock, great company, Israel, and all the rest of mankind. It's right here in front of us. That's a beautiful picture. And we can't deny it. And we see that occurring. Again, we're going to be a little bit repetitive here. The first Gentiles whose prayers were received according to the Bible was Cornelius, as we stated earlier. And even his prayers were not acceptable until he was informed as to how that he had come through our Lord, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. So during this gospel age, any prayer to be effective must ascend to God in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Other prayer the Almighty God does not hear. For ignoring the world's Savior, they cannot, in the very nature of things, be in harmony with God's plan of salvation. So here again, we know eventually they will have that access. And this will happen with all of that when the church is completed. And even there in Jacob's trouble, the very last end, they're going to... In fact, we quoted that scripture yesterday in Isaiah 2. They're going to all... I forget the scripture right at this moment. But they're going to all want to... I'll have to read it, brethren. Isaiah 2. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us of his ways. But all as a result, this great horde, the consummation, the very final, the consummation of Jacob's trouble. We know the very first thing we know is that Israel is going to look upon him whom they pierced. Is that not right in Zechariah 12:10? And then, all of these that have come against Israel, these nations, are they going to know that Israel was God's? Ye only have I known of all the families of the earth. And they are going to recognize Israel as number one. Again, the scriptures teach that during the gospel age, prayer is the exclusive privilege of the sacrificing followers of Christ. And here again, we have that illustrated in the service of the Levitical priesthood and the tabernacle arrangement that we have here on this wall. And again, as Brother Wilmot stated, we've got the chart, we've got the tabernacle. Very beautiful pictures. Very beautiful lesson. There are three general conditions of people in the world today, are there not? One, the comparatively few who have covenanted with God to lay down their lives with Christ in his sacrificial death. Two, those who have belief in the Son of God but do not sacrifice with him. Three, the unbelieving world in general. So again, we know that the world of mankind, again, will be, I've had it for a long time, and I still don't know how to work it. But the whole world of mankind are going to be lifted up to human perfection. They're going to be given that opportunity. And we know in Isaiah 50, or what is it, 60 or 65, I can't recall the scripture offhand, but they will even be given up to how long? 100 years to learn righteousness, provided they show any indication that they're. But we know at the very end there, at the very end of the chart here, they will be destroyed in the second death. Prayer and the Bible. In John 15:7. In our Lord's words, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You might want to look at John 11:42. If, again, we did that out yesterday with some of the promises. This is conditional with the word if. There are two conditions, abiding in Christ in that scripture and his word abiding in us. Even to those who have become sons of God, Jesus intimates a danger of losing the privilege of prayer. A little bit earlier, Psalm 66:18, I believe. If I, God, iniquity in my, the Lord will not heal me. Brethren, I have to go to the throne of grace daily, many times a day, in order to keep that robe clean. Again, I know I fall far short. If ye, so here again, the word ye here, it is limited to certain people under certain conditions. It does not say that anybody may ask what he will. It doesn't say that. If ye, to those to whom it has been given, showing who may ask, ye believers, who are in me, whose wills are buried or immersed into the will of Christ, the ye class. He indicates, these are the words of our Lord, if you abide in me. And only those can abide in Christ who are in Christ. If we have immersed our wills into the will of Christ, then that's who we sought. Those who abide in Christ must have gotten into him by faith, repentance, and consecration. Reprint 5708:2. Reprint 5708:2. Or reprint 3663:2. So here again, abide in me points out the necessity for our continuance under his care. These, not only that they have entered into a consecrated relationship, but they are remaining there. That they are members of the body of Christ in good standing. Second part of that, with my words, abide in you. Abiding in Christ implies that the will has been wholly swallowed up in the will of Christ. And if the suppliant's own will is gone, he surely would consult the words of Christ before framing a petition to the Father in Christ's name. His words abiding in us means that we must study the Bible. This is the only way to know what God has said to us, is it not? Study to show thyself approved, didn't the writer tell us that? A workman who hath no need to be ashamed, but rightly or correctly dividing the word of truth. So again, if those two conditions are met, you can ask what ye will. And only those who possess both qualifications may expect to approach the throne of heavenly grace with full assurance of faith that their petitions will be answered in God's own due time. A few more scriptures on prayer. We've quoted some. But Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. James 5:16, I know you all know this one. The effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Here again, brethren, as we stated in 9:31 of John, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Consequently, we who by nature were sinners, even as others, could have no audience with the Almighty God Jehovah until justified by faith in the sin offering of Jesus our Lord. Christ is the way again, as we stated in John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Prayer is the privilege of believers, those who have been reconciled to God. These are the ones that we have reference to. The Almighty God, again, heareth not sinners, but Jesus does. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. So here again, we see that our Lord in John 14:6 is the only gateway to enter the holy place or court. That is the only way. First of all, we know outside here, you had to first believe. You had to wash at the laver. You consecrate. You give your will to do the Lord's will. And we tie ourselves up here at the door. We don't put ourselves up on that altar. It's the priest. And once we've done that, we have access now to the all to these. We have access to the candlestick. These Levites Were they allowed to look in here? No, brother. Without the penalty of death. But once here, we have access to the throne of grace. The breaking of Jesus' body opened the narrow way to life and broke or unsealed and gave you and I access to the truth, the spiritual food, as an aid to walk the narrow way which leads to life. However, we must be drawn first. I made the mistake not knowing the scriptures many years ago when I first started searching for the truth. I was brought up in the religious systems outside. I was always taught, none in the family, but I was brought up in that religious institution, whether day or night, I had to be there, my grandfather, I had to be there regardless, whether I wanted to or not. And that was carried on throughout my life. My mother always taught me that God is love. But then I'd go to this religious institution over here, this house, and the preacher would scare the hell out of me. Brethren, if you've never been in that situation, I came out of that, out of the world. But that was a tremendous burden on my heart. I knew that if I had a child, I wouldn't quit. Am I more loving than God? But here again, I'll never forget that God is love. But I could not reconcile those two. So, as a teenager, and I know most teenagers don't rebel. I did. I'm one. But the part is, I did rebel. Military, back home, stayed in Japan. I got out of religions. But then one day I came back, and I said I was going to go back to do the right thing here. Thought I was, but it was in ignorance. God knew my heart. He knew I was not familiar with the 1878 date that you referred to come out of her in Revelations 18:4, I believe it is, come out of her, my people. I had to be forced out. And when I started to go back to the religious institution, I said, well, why do I have to go back? I came up as a Methodist. Why do I have to go back to the Methodist Church? My wife's a Baptist. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that selfish. I went with my wife. Well, I can see the Lord's hands in this. And I was forced out of that Baptist church. I may have stayed there a week. But the Lord overruled and forced me, and I won't go into that. If you want to know, I'll tell you later. But I was forced out of that system by that preacher. He didn't force me out. I walked out because I could see what he was doing. But brethren, as we close here, and I'm sorry I got off. What is effective prayer? Again, we quoted James a moment ago. Effective prayer is that which invokes God's blessing, God's aid in bringing into effect the many details of His glorious plan of salvation. God will not incline His ear to anyone except they pray according to His will. We therefore conclude that every prayer to be effective, must be offered with His glorious plan of salvation in view, the details of which are contained in the Scriptures. Brethren, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. May the Lord add His blessings and overrule anything I may have said in this.
Well, we do certainly appreciate those admonitions on prayer and the importance of prayer. Brethren, we're going to sing a hymn, but I want to make some announcements first. But I'm going to give you the hymn because it's different in the blue book and the red book. Take time to be holy. In the red book is 344 or Appendix K. But if you're using the blue book, it's 247A. So we'll give you a chance to look at that. The other things that are of some importance is, again, be sure to check the back table for signing the cards and the greetings to brethren. And also, using the yellow and orange programs, be sure that you're following the new schedule, because it's not the same as you may have received on the white program before. And that means that we only have 1 hour now for lunch, half an hour less than yesterday. That means we must be prompt now. We have 11:45 until 12:45. Only. And so directly after this meeting, partake of the meals in the fashion that we did, and be back in 1 hour. I think it was the messages I had. So let's be prompt, and we will stand on the last verse also, 344 or 247A.
our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father. We come before Thee with praise and with thanksgiving, thanking You, Father, for the eye to see and the ear to hear. We are thankful, Father, for the blessings that we've received here in convention. We ask Thy continued blessings upon our fellowship. We ask Thy blessings upon the temple provisions that have been provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Perfect time. He could right on the second.
But what a wonderful privilege we have, and particularly for the consequences.